Matthew chapter 6, if you will, please. And we're going to continue to talk about the subject of fasting. Last week we began to talk about it and kind of defined just the things about it and you know, many of the details. But today we're going to just really focus in on some more of the finer points of fasting and what we need to remember about it. Remember, fasting is one of those things that is added to prayer. Okay, so it's part of praying, or if you will, kind of the emergency switch of prayer, if you will. It's kind of more than beseeching the Lord. It's more than you know, the supplication part, which we talked about that. It's kind of that last ditch effort, right? That last straw, that final thing that there's nothing else to do, right? Besides fast. And in the time of prayer. So with that said, let's stand out of love and respect for the word of God. If you are physically able, we're going to begin in verse 9. We'll read responsively. You can join me on the even verses out loud. I'll read the odd verses out loud by myself. Jesus says in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." As we consider our Savior, we have access to God because of Jesus Christ. We get to pray. We get to come before His throne. Jesus Christ, our Savior, has made that possible. And you know what? It ought to be considered by you as a privilege. I like to call it the privilege of prayer. We get to pray. And we should pray. Jesus said, when ye pray, he said, this is how you're supposed to pray. And he goes through, we've gone through all the elements of prayer, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And we talked about how we ought to regard God and how we ought to honor God, and His name certainly should be hallowed. We talked about giving ourselves over as subjects of the kingdom, being in servitude or subjection to God. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And then we as His servants need sustenance. We need care. We need to be able-bodied servants of the God, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In this world, these bodies need to function. Everybody okay with functioning bodies? Yes. As we grow older, maybe they don't function as well as they should, right? Or maybe they do. I mean, that's fine. But we ought to pray that God make us the best and able-bodied servants that we can be. But another element of that is having good relationships socially, right? God forgiving us our sins and our trespasses, and us forgiving others of their trespasses against us. And so all of that has to do with serving God, and that should be part of our prayer. We also should ask that God protect us and deliver us. We know that perilous times, troubles, tribulations, trials, all these things are a part of life. Some come because of our own missteps, right? The things that we cause or choose. But some of them are just to try our faith, to give us patience. Sometimes the things that we go through are because of somebody else's choices, right? If a drunk driver hits you, that's going to be because of their choice. You'll understand that, right? And so all of these things, we ought to ask God to protect us, to deliver us. All of these things are part of prayer. And then certainly, we should pray for God and His kingdom to shine, Him to receive the glory and the power and all these things forever. And that just, it's all about God. And then He says in the next few verses to forgive men. We talked about that already, and how God wants us to forgive. And we talked about the parable that Jesus told about the man who had forgiven the one man, his servant, a large debt. And that servant went out and put into jail a man that owed him a few dollars. And that master basically jerked that guy back in and said, now you're in trouble. That's how God thinks about this. He has forgiven so much for us, hasn't He? We get to go to heaven. We don't have to go to hell anymore because Jesus saved us. So why are we going to hold something petty against somebody else? That's the gist of it, right? And so we need to make sure that we're forgiving, that we're emulating our Father, if you will. If we've been forgiven much, we should forgive. And that's certainly how it goes. And then He addresses fasting here in verse 16. He says, moreover, and by the way, when ye fast. Okay? Now, I'm not going to ask by show of hands, but just consider in your own life, have you ever fasted? Okay? I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe it's often. Now, I'm not talking about, we talked about this last week, I'm not talking about something for health, okay, like intermittent fasting or weight loss or things like that, which that is a part of fasting, but I'm just talking about in the spiritual sense. Has there been a time where you have deprived your flesh in order to get a hold of God? Okay, that's what we're talking about is with this element of fasting. Okay, that's the motivation, that's the purpose of it. Not to restore my health, but rather to get a hold of God. Okay, all right. So have you fasted? I hope so. Maybe at some point in time. Because guess what? We all go through things where there's no other recourse than to fast. Than to get a hold of God. Remember what I said before. This thing of fasting is not just something we do at random. Or not just something we do mechanically. Like, okay, every month I'm going to make sure the last day of the month I'm going to fast. Now let me just say to you, if that's your schedule, you're in trouble this month. Because, or this next month, because August 31st is our prayer breakfast. And you're going to miss out. So we'll pray for you, okay? It's not something you just set a calendar or set a clock to and say, okay, I'm just going to fast this time. Whether I need it or not, I'm going to fast. That's not what fasting is. And that's not what fasting is for. Fasting is for a certain particular distress. Okay? Or a certain particular need. And so we need to make sure that this is something we're doing. Now, we mentioned last week several instances of fasting in the Bible. There literally are hundreds of instances about fasting. And we also discussed, and I thought this was good conjecture because someone talked to me about this after church. But I remember I raised the question, I kind of expected God to put some requirements or rules or things in place for fasting. But He really didn't as far as, when they should do it and all this kind of stuff. Because it is kind of that emergency thing. All right? It's not something to be included mechanically like a feast or a festival or a time of bringing sacrifice or those types of things. It's just whenever it comes to fasting, that's when it comes to fasting. You all make sense? Does it make sense to you? Because it makes sense to me that this is one of those emergency buttons, right? How many of you at school or in a public building have ever seen those red boxes on the wall that says pull in case of fire, right? Okay. Did you know that those things aren't just for fun? You know, well, let's just go around and pull them every month, you know, just to make sure, you know. Now, they do test them and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But what are they for? For emergencies, right? And so when do you pull them? In case of an emergency, all right? So fasting is our, you know, emergency pull button here, okay? That's what fasting is. It's like, all right, I've prayed, I've read the Word of God, I've sought God's face, I have this pressing need, this thing is overwhelming me, there's nothing else I can do, so I need to fast. Do you understand what that's what when there's nowhere else to turn, there's nothing else to be done, we then strip our flesh of its food, we say, God, I'm serious about this. Because guess what? When a Baptist doesn't eat, that's serious. Right? That's serious. And when a Baptist compels other Baptists not to eat, that's serious. Come on now. I'm kind of teasing, but not. It's true. And it is serious. And that's what fasting is for us. Now, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Isaiah 58. I told you we were going to get here this week. In the message last week, we only got done through the introduction. So here's the meat of the message, if you will, all right? Isaiah 58, if you look here, we're going to begin in verse 1. Isaiah 58, we'll kind of go through this whole chapter here. But in Isaiah 58, we have an account of the people of God, and if you will, their abuse of this thing of fasting. All right, how many of you have little headings in your Bible that tells you what the chapter's about? Okay? Mine says, hypocritical fasts reproved. That's a good headline, right? Yeah. So can fasting be done hypocritically? Yes, it can. Did we read that in our text? Yes, we did. Okay? So listen to what God has to say through the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel. God says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So, does all the time God deal with his prophets this way? Where he tells them to cry aloud, lift up their voice like a trumpet. Not all the time. Okay? Sometimes he just says, thus saith the Lord, right? I mean, just proclaim it. Just prophesy. Just tell them what I'm telling you. Most of the time, that's how God deals with his prophets. But this time, God tells Isaiah, he says, no, Isaiah, put your big voice on. Get out the megaphone. Crank up the sound system so that they can hear. He says, cry aloud. And listen to what God says. Spare not. He says, don't leave anything behind. I mean, use your big voice. Okay, so I'm gonna pull this off here for a second because I'm gonna get my big voice out. Now, you understand that regular voice, this is regular voice, right? Okay? I mean, I'm somewhat raised in tone, but my voice carries pretty well. This is my regular voice. Now, I can get louder if I want to speak up, right? And I can talk to you. And this might be almost like the sound system, right? I mean, is it close? It's close, okay? But I can really get loud, and we can really talk about some things. Because I'm not going to spare any part of my voice. Was that loud enough? Now, if I had to put that in the microphone, you guys would have bleeding ears. Do you see the differences there? So God says, cry aloud. He says, spare not. He says, lift up thy voice like a blowhard. I mean, a trumpet. He's back there. I'm a saxophone player, okay? Brother Dart's a trumpet player. We always call the trumpets blowhards because you got a blowhard to make a noise, right? Amen? That's good. No, he says, and trumpets are loud. Okay? They're loud. They can be loud. And, but he says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. He says, I want you, Isaiah, to show my people their transgression. He says, this is bad. This is bad. They're making a mockery of something special. And folks, listen to me. Fasting is something special. It's special to God that we would say no to our flesh and yes to God. God says that is something special. You need to lift up your voice. You need to spare not. You need to cry aloud and show my people their sin. They've transgressed against me. Look at verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Now you say, what in the world is wrong with verse number 2? What's wrong with them taking delight in seeking God daily and as a nation that did righteousness and they didn't forsake the ordinance of their God and they asked me of ordinances of justice? They delighted in approaching to God. Look at verse number 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Question mark. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye did find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Okay, so God is putting them on trial here, right? And what is he trying? Is he trying their actions per se? Not so much their actions, but their motive, their heart, their attitude, right? And so God's saying, this is a problem. And remember, he's asked Isaiah to sound off like a trumpet, to cry aloud, not to spare anything, and bring this into knowledge to the people of Israel. Look at verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to the house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So God's saying here, we have a problem. This fasting is formalism, it's hypocrisy. It's a false profession, because there's strife, there's wickedness, there's it's not about coming to God and getting a hold of God. It's about them and how they feel and what they need, if you will, and these things. And so God says this fasting is a facade. It's fake. It's not what fasting is for. It's not the fasting that God said that they should do. It's not the purpose that God said it was for. He says, you are finding pleasure and exacting all your labors, but you're fasting. So think about this. If I really want to get a hold of God, what am I going to try to do? Get a hold of God. So think about this. If I say, okay, I'm going to fast, but I still do everything else that I would normally do in a day, and not eat. Am I really trying to get a hold of God? Yay or nay? Nay. Because what am I still doing? I'm still doing everything I would normally do. I'm just not eating. Is that really sacrificial? Is that really trying to get a hold of God? You say, okay, well, I'm not going to eat, but I'm still going to go to work, and I'm still going to earn money to provide for my household, and I'm still going to go out and play softball, and I'm still going to go watch this thing or that thing, and I'm still going to do this or do that. I'm still going to do all my normal daily activities, but I'm just not going to eat any food. Is that really fasting? I don't think so. Think about this. We talked about this last week in Jonah. Remember what Jonah was talking about with the people there? When he preached his shortest message ever he could try to preach, right? And what did the king and what did the people all do? They stopped everything that they were doing, right? They sat in sackcloth and ashes. And they looked for God. Just for the chance that God would spare them from judgment. There were all the sporting activities were canceled, right? All the work was canceled. Everything was canceled. The animals didn't even get water or food. Nothing. Why? Because grabbing hold of God in the face of God was what was important. You see, that's what fasting really is. It's denying everything else. Remember David. We talked about David last week. For how many days? 7 days. What was David? A king. What does a king do? Run a kingdom. Right? Is that busy? Yes. Are there decisions to be made? Yes. Are there people that have needs? Yes, he was in a room on his face before God on the floor for 7 days. He didn't do any kingly things. He didn't make any decisions. He didn't have any pleasures, if you will. He denied all those for what purpose? To get a hold of God. So Israel's being rebuked here. And he says, these are problems. You're fasting, and then you're asking me why I don't see you. You're asking me why I don't take knowledge of you, because you're not doing it right. That's what God says. And he says, Isaiah, I want you to tell these people that they're not fasting the way I want them to fast. Remember, we talked about this before. God gets to give the definitions. We don't get to decide what fasting is, do we? God says, this is the giving up of all to seek my face. If you really want me to hear, if you really want me to see, if you really want me to take knowledge, you need to fast the way that I have chosen, not the way you have chosen. Now, if you go through and read all the examples, you see that there are different durations of fasting. Sometimes it's for a day. So they fast for a day. Now, is that okay? Absolutely. Sometimes they fasted for 7 days or several days. Sometimes, in the case of, there are other cases, but in the case of our Lord, how long did he fast? For 40 days. Where was he? In the wilderness. Anybody can find pleasure in the wilderness? Probably not. Okay? You're going to find solitude in the wilderness. Correct? What was his intent? To get a hold of God, right? To be with God. And that was his intent. Now, let me just tell you this. You and I probably are not going to be able to do a 40-day fast. Right? That's going to be tough. To deny everything for 40 days, that's going to be difficult. Now, there may be something that comes up in your life that you feel that that's necessary. That's why I think that God doesn't give parameters on this. Do you understand that? So, but he's saying, Israel, your heart isn't right. This is all just mechanical. You don't really mean it. You're just doing it because you think that I'm going to see you. You just do it because you think I'm going to hear you. But I know your heart. I know you're not doing this for the right reasons. So look what he says here about their strife. Look at verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Well, that's an indictment. He says, hey, you're fasting for the wrong reasons. You're fasting for violence and for these things to smite with the fist of wickedness. And he says, I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to listen to that. He says about in verse 5, he says, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? In other words, you're choosing one. That's not the right one. He says, this is what I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. So God says there's some things that you should be fasting for. Not for strife, not for the fist of wickedness, and not for these things, but it is to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. He says, hey, these are the things that fasting is for. So let's talk about fasting and the proper methods and proper things of fasting. First of all, fasting should not be done to appear righteous. All right, that's our text, right? What does he say? Be not as the hypocrites are, right? What do? They disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. That's not what fasting is for. Fasting is not to garner the sympathy or the favor or the respect of people. That's the wrong motive of fasting. You say, well, I want people to think that I'm religious. I want people to think that I'm, you know, a holy, righteous person. So when I fast, I'm gonna, you know, put some ashes on my cheeks and kind of walk around like, oh, so hungry, so weak, so hungry, you know, and what's the matter, Pastor? Don't you have any? I can buy you some food. Oh, no. I'm fasting right now. For the saints of God, for the church, for... Oh, Pastor, you're so holy. You're so righteous. Right? Guess what? They have their reward. It's not to be seen of men. It's not to appear righteous. Listen, the Pharisees were all about power. They were all about prestige. They wanted people to honor them. Can I tell you something? Fasting is not for us to be honored. Fasting is for us to get a hold of God. Fasting should not be done out of duty. The people there in Isaiah, they were just doing it because they thought, you know, that's what they're supposed to do. If they want something, they're supposed to fast. Well, no, that's not at all what it's supposed to be do. It's not for the regard of men. It's not to influence others. Remember, we read about Jezebel. She said, proclaim a fast and let's judge this Naboth, right? And she was trying to influence the people to kill Naboth and to give the vineyard to her husband. Well, that's not what fasting is for. What is fasting for? Well, in Isaiah 58, God tells us what it's for. You understand that we need to listen to God. He says in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. Is there wickedness in this world? Yeah. Remember Ephesians chapter 6? What does Paul say to the Ephesians? Put on the whole armor of God. Why? For we wrestle not against, yeah, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Folks, it's true, isn't it? This is something that we deal with. The bands of wickedness need to be loosed. What are the wicked going to do? You can answer. It's okay. What are the wicked going to do? They're going to be wicked. Okay. What are the lost people going to do? Be lost, right? They're not going to... Are they going to regard God? No, they're not. We just had a camp and we talked about liberty. And I told people sometimes people manufacture liberty by proclaiming there's no God to, you know, so if there's no God, you don't need to be liberated from anything. Right? That's what they try to do. They said, well, there's no God, so I'm not accountable. There's no accountability. There's no laws. There's nothing. I can do whatever I do is what I do. And then they try to escape that way. But guess what? There is a God, right? And there is accountability. But the wicked, they're going to do what they're going to do. So what do? We try to seek God's face to loose the bands of wickedness. We try to get that away from us. We try to loose the bands of satanic oppression. When Jesus fasted, at the end of the fast, what took place? The temptation from the devil. He comes to Jesus and says, give this stuff up and, you know, bow down to me and I'll give you everything. And Jesus kept combating him with scripture and scripture and scripture. Why was he able to do that? He said, because he's Jesus. Yes. Okay? But he did take the time to fast and pray for 40 days. So you understand that satanic oppression is real. What about in Matthew 17 when this took place? It says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. Now, I've said that about my sons a few times. I don't know if they were sore vexed and things like that, but they're certainly lunatic. Anyways, he said, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Then Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, we know that the devil cannot, if you will, possess or take over a Christian. Okay? Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But we can give place to the devil. Well, if we give place to the devil, how are we going to get rid of that? By prayer and fasting. To loose the bands of wickedness. To get this, that's why we should fast. Look at else what he says. He says, to undo the heavy burdens. Let me ask you a question. Are there burdens in this life? Yes. Right? What does Jesus say that we should do with our burdens? We should give them to him. Yeah. Because his yoke is light. Right? We're supposed to cast all our care upon him because he careth for us. The burdens of this world often weigh us down, but they don't have to. Can you carry your own burdens? Sure. Sure you can. But you don't have to. If you do carry your own burdens, what are they going to do? They're going to weigh you down. And what kind of a servant is a weighed down servant? Not a very good one. Right? If you're weighed down with all kinds of things, how are you going to do as a servant? You're not going to be very productive. You're not going to be able to do things very well. Right? But if you're a liberated servant, if you're free from those bondages and free from those burdens, you're going to be able to jump around, right? You might even be able to do this. Kick your heels, right? What was that guy, the hang upside down guy? You know, he's 85 and he's kicking his heels. Never mind. But you can do things when you don't have these burdens on you. So listen to David and some of the fasting that he went through to get relief from burdens. In Psalm 35, he said, "False witnesses did rise up, and they laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother." Wow. So here, someone's causing David a burden, and what does he do? He fasts and prays for them. Isn't that something? He didn't rail on him. He didn't, you know, wish him to be dead or anything like that. He fasted and prayed for them. In Psalm 69, he says, Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee to be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. What was David seeking relief from? His burdens. And who was he going to? His God. With prayer and fasting. In Psalm 109 he says, "But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also as a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this thy hand, that thou, the Lord, hast done it." Relief from the burdens. Look what he says here. Back in Isaiah 58. He says that this fasting that God has chosen was to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. You know what binds mankind? What oppresses mankind? S-I-N. You know what follows you around even after salvation? S-I-N. We just spent a whole week with our junior campers talking about liberty. Guess what we need to be freed from? The bondage of sin. Guess what? And guess how that happens? Through salvation. Right? But here's what takes place. When we're saved, are we set free from sin? Yes. For how long? forever. Right? Unless, because I'll just give you this example like I gave to the kids. If I'm locked up in a jail cell, right? And somebody comes by and takes the key and clicks the lock and opens the door, I have to accept that, right? So I do. I accept it. I walk out and I am now free. All right? Now, as a free man, can I go back into the jail? And shut the door. I can't. Now that's extremely stupid. But can I do that? Yes. Do we do that? Yes. Now, sometimes we talked about this in my lesson that I taught, and I want to thank Brother Minter for putting it together for me. He wanted to go so bad, but was not able to. And maybe next year. Amen. Amen. So I told him, I said, sometimes we choose to go back to the bondage of sin. And guess what? Will Christ liberate us again? Yes. That's not re-salvation. It's just restoration of fellowship. Okay? Now, but sometimes people trick me into going back into bondage. Those false teachers. I love the verse that I read in Galatians. I read it to the kids. And it says that they send people to our churches to spy out our liberty, that they may bring us again into bondage. Wow. The devil does that, folks. Sends spies into the church to spy out our liberty for one reason, to bring us back into bondage. What are we supposed to fast and pray for? Look what it says. It says to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. We need to pray to seek victory over sin. I referenced the Ninevites. Were they sinners? Yes. Were they in judgment? Yes. What did they do when they heard that there was a judgment coming? They fasted and prayed. And what did God do? He set them free. And they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. So these are the reasons why we should fast. When we fast, we focus on God. When we fast, we appeal to the Father. This is the motivation. And these are the reasons why we should fast. We should fast to receive relief from the burdens. We should fast to receive relief from satanic oppression and the wickedness of this world. And we should fast to be freed from the oppression of sin in this world. Because let me tell you something. There are some sins that have a hold of us that we can't break. And only fasting can break it. This is what fasting is. Look at what verse 58, verse 8 promises. You guys are listening really slow today. It's not your fault. I'm almost done. In verse 8, look what he promises. Then, if you fast my way, for my purposes, then shall light break forth as the morning. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. These are the real results of fasting, folks. God promises results if we do it the right way, for the right reasons. And this is what fasting provides. How many of you say, Pastor, you know, I didn't realize all this stuff about fasting. But now I know. And guess what? Now that we know, we should utilize it the right way. We should be pleasing in God's sight concerning this thing of fasting and prayer.